Do you have a mental picture of Jesus? I've shared with you before that when I think of Jesus, in my mind's eye, it's always Jesus being surrounded with children. Children tackling Jesus, on top of Jesus, Jesus wrestling with children. When I think of Jesus, that's the image that I have. Now, growing up in Sunday school, in the beginner, the primary department, the Sunday school teacher would sit there on that little chair with the children at large group time. Somehow she would balance her Bible and her dress in the right way and would have with her the open Bible and the teaching picture that went with the lesson. She got the teaching picture out of the resource kit, and it was always a wonderful picture that illustrated the story. And most stories as a child growing up in Sunday school were stories about Jesus. And so I grew up with this picture of Jesus that looked like this. Some of you did too. That's how Jesus looked. I mean, my Bible had that picture, and surely if it was in the cover of my Bible, that was right. Now, if you grew up maybe at St. Cyprian's, or so, your Jesus looked like this. Or maybe, I think as I became a teenager, Jesus always looked like this. Jesus was always mad at me as a teenager. But why didn't Jesus ever just look like this? Or maybe like this? A smiling Jesus? How about this for Father's Day? Look at that smile. Or my favorite, this is my picture of Jesus. Jesus laughing, smiling. In today's text, Hallie read Matthew 15, Jesus, I think, is smiling, maybe laughing, and definitely has a twinkle in his eye, and so does this daughter of God, this woman of wonder. We're in Matthew 15. But really, we need to go back to Matthew 14 to get the context of the story. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, Jesus has just been told that John the Baptist, his friend, has been beheaded, and his head has been placed on a platter at a birthday party. Jesus' heart is heavy, to say the least, and he tries to get away to gather himself, but the crowds at this time had already gathered and followed him. He was doing miracles, and they wanted to see and hear, and he noticed that 5,000 were near him, and they were hungry, and the disciples said, get rid of them, get rid of them. We don't have enough to feed them, and Jesus, filled with compassion, said, we'll feed them. 5,000. Fed with leftovers. Jesus goes on up to the mountain to pray, and he sends his disciples across the lake. And yes, then he comes at sunrise, and he begins to walk toward them on the water. Peter said, oh, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. And Jesus said, no, it's not. It is I. Don't be afraid. I am with you. And Peter said, well, it's really you. Let me come to you. And Jesus said, come on. And Peter took a few steps, and the waves come. And then he said, Lord, help me, I'm drowning. And Jesus said, Peter, oh, you of little faith. Grabs him, and off they go. Chapter 15. After dealing with all of that, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, come and say, Jesus, your disciples, they're breaking religious tradition again. They don't even wash their hands. Now, I think that's kind of gross that they didn't wash their hands before they ate. But religious tradition, Jesus said, You Pharisees are sending me over the edge. Well, he didn't really say that, but he said in verse 7, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Rules, traditions, Jesus was so fed up with these religious people. Even the disciples couldn't grasp the grace of Jesus, that he always lived and he always taught over the law. Verse 16, he said, Peter, you're so dull. You're so dumb. Do you not get it? Do you not get it, God's grace? Jesus needed a break. He needed a respite. At least he needed a few days out of town, a long weekend, without the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of those folks. He was still trying to process, it seems, the death of John the Baptist and all the needs of the people. And so according to Matthew's gospel, he leaves. It's the only time that Matthew has Jesus leaving the Jewish territory. He goes north, up to Tyre and Sidon. Today, if you were to go to that area, that would be Beirut, Lebanon. Not a great place to go, but Jesus went to get away, to have a break. And as soon as he gets there, a desperate, non-Jewish, Syrophoenician woman with a demon-possessed child tracks him down and begins to follow him and wail after him and cry unto him, please heal my daughter, please heal my daughter. And she goes on and on and on. Happy vacation, Jesus. Now, she had two strikes against her from the very beginning. She was a woman. Now, Jesus always elevated women, but even in that day, women were good for the kitchen and good for the bedroom, and that was it. Who always reached out to and tried to pull up women and used women in his ministry. But this was another woman, and she was a Canaanite. Last week when I talked about Rahab, remember, she was from Canaan. She was a Canaanite. And all of these hundreds of years later, the Canaanites are still looked down, these barbaric, foreign people. A woman, a Canaanite, with a demon-possessed daughter crying out to Jesus. Her daughter's not even there for healing. And so she begins, Lord, verse 22, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and she's suffering so horribly. And she was politically correct. She called him Lord, and even more so, Matthew would have picked it up, Son of David, this Jewish Messiah, Lord, Son of David, have mercy. And Jesus says nothing. Remember when they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery and threw her at Jesus' feet? He was silent, it seems, for a long time in John's gospel, and he played in the sand before he finally answered. But here he doesn't even write anything on the ground. Verse 23, he did not answer a word. You feel the tension? This woman has been wailing and crying and asking for a miracle. She comes to Jesus and says, heal my daughter who is suffering terrible. And he doesn't say a word. The disciples begin to get uneasy. You can just see it. They're tense at best, and so they begin to babble. Send her away. Send her away. We need a break. She's driving us crazy. Maybe they said, just heal her and get it over with. Just do something. Do something. They're just talking, and Jesus is not saying a word. But then he does. Verse 24. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and fell before him. Lord, just help me. It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I have never preached this text until today, because I don't like this text. And as preacher, I get to choose what I preach and what I don't. So I've never preached it. I like chapter 14. I like the first part of 15. And then I find myself on at the last half of chapter 15. This text confuses me. This text gives me a lot of concern. And really, Jesus' words make me a little angry at Jesus. And it's not good to be angry with Jesus. So I began to look, what did folks far wiser, what have scholars through the years written? Well, here's what they said. Jesus was trapped. Jesus was the Jewish Messiah who was sent of God from the very beginning, that he would come to the Jews, that he would reach down to them, that they would acknowledge him as Messiah, and through them, the entire world would come to see God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was trapped. He really was called to the Jews. And here this woman from Canaan is asking for this miracle. But there are other times Jesus took care of non-Jews. He went through Samaria. We're going to talk about the Samaritan woman in a few weeks. He talked to her and drank water with her and offered her living water. Trapped? Others have said, well, he wasn't really trapped. He was having a bad day. I mean, he was totally God, but he was totally human. His friend John the Baptist has been decapitated. All these folks had pulled from him, and those crazy Pharisees were sending him over the edge. He's just exhausted. So he said those words kind of non-Jesus like. But in chapter 14, when he saw all those multitudes right after John the Baptist had been beheaded, it said, and he was filled with compassion. Jesus is always looking at the least and the lowest and those who are hurting and those who are women. Those are the ones Jesus is always lifting up. He's trapped. Most every commentary that I read said he was simply testing her. Was she for real? Was she just like others who just wanted a miracle? She didn't believe in him. She just wanted that daughter healed. She didn't even bring the daughter there. How was he to heal her? And maybe offended her, call her a dog. Gentile dog, Samaritan dog. Let's really see if she's really in for it. Does she really have any faith? He's testing her. Could I offer a fourth interpretation? I think Jesus got a twinkle in his eye. He had just dealt with the Pharisees and the teachers who were trying to trap him with this religious tradition, and he just tried to teach them about grace, and it wasn't what went in, but it's what came from the heart. I think there was a twinkle in his eye. He thought, here's a great time. Will the disciples catch it? I think there's a grin on his face. And by the end of this text, I think Jesus and the Canaanite woman are both smiling and praising God. Jesus knows he can heal her daughter. Jesus knows that he isn't bound by some plan that a bunch of religious people have come up with. He knows that her heart is good. And so he decides to engage in this humorous moment with this faithful woman. Can't you hear him saying it? Oh, well, you know God only cares about Jews. And he winks. She catches it. And so she volleys back at him. Oh, yes, I know, but even your bread that is so precious to the Jews, some of the crumbs will fall on the ground and maybe the dogs could have those crumbs. And in a spirit of joy and grace, Jesus says, your faith is so great. I've never seen any faith greater. Your daughter is healed. Not a contemptuous God, but a God who delights in a sincere seeker in faith. The Canaanite woman, this woman experienced the grace of God. She had nothing to offer to Jesus. She came from the wrong ethnicity, the wrong racial background, the wrong culture. She was part of the enemy and the wrong gender as well. She had no works as she presented to Jesus. She had no religion, but she had faith. Faith. Faith alone. She believed in Jesus. Some of you are probably thinking, did he forget it's Father's Day? Dan mentioned it, but did... No, I didn't. Dads, if you're looking for a role model of what it is to be a Christian dad, maybe this woman is the role model you need. Such faith. Such faith going against all that anyone would say. She believed in her heart that even Jesus and Tyre and Sidon, that even Jesus would come and rescue her and her daughter. She believed without any doubt that though her daughter was home suffering, Jesus had the power and the authority, and he could bring healing. She falls on her knees, Dad. She falls on her knees before Jesus for her kids. Dads, we want to give our kids so much. We want them to have the best fishing pole, the best rod and reel. Maybe because we didn't have it, we want them to have the very best. We want them to have the newest updated iPhone. Ours is several generations behind, but we want our kids to have the newest one. And we want to make sure they're in the best dance class and have all the stuff that you need in dance. And we're going to sign them up for every single sport and even select sport. And all of those are good things, sport and dance, iPhones, and definitely fishing poles. All of that's good. But God help us as dads when we are not men of faith. Where are our Christian dads? We look at our world and we look at our society and we look in our Lufkin Daily News and we see families in such a mess. Dads, where are our dads of faith? I this morning got to the office and I took out my dad's two Bibles. I can almost smell my dad when I touch his Bible. As a kid, child, this was the Bible. There's a Father's Day gift in my dad's Bible that I made for him. And then as I became a teenager, my dad had this heavier Bible filled with notes. Every time he read a chapter of the Bible, he'd put a little X. And I've gone through it this morning. It looks like he read through the Bible at least three times. My dad never finished high school. He started working. I'm the baby of four. Dad was a mechanic. He was crippled all of his life. Went into business for himself 10 days before I was born. Paid for me to go to Baylor by taking his passbook savings account and cashing it in. But of all the things my father gave me, the greatest was his faith. We always had everything we needed and most everything we wanted. But what he most gave us was this great man of faith, not a perfect man, but a man of faith who studied his Bible every night, who read and studied and prayed for his family and prayed for his kids. A man of faith who believed and knew that God would hear his prayer and God would answer. Men and women alike, God honors radical, risk-taking faith. God honors radical, risk-taking faith. We can cry out to mercy and know that God hears us. And God honors that faith for healing, physical, spiritual, and emotional, that God hears and honors our faith. We're without a job and we need a job or we want a different job. We call out to God in faith, believing that God hears. When we need direction in our life, we need direction in our families, we call out to God, and by faith we know God hears. Now hear me clearly. God's ways, I read last week, Isaiah, God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God, we now see in a mirror dimly, but one day we'll see face to face. You can hear it preached throughout this community. You can definitely hear it preached in Houston. You just name it and claim it. You just believe and you give enough and you say enough and God is somehow bound and determined to do what you want. That's not what I'm saying. Even a prayer offered in faith isn't always the response. It may not be what we're looking for, what we're expecting, or what we're wanting, but God, you can always trust God. God will hear our prayer and God will respond in God's way. He lavishly loves us, and his response is the right response. The Canaanite woman, a daughter of God, a woman of wonder, maybe she is the picture of Wonder Woman. Jesus said to her, "Woman," that's the same word he used for Mary, "Dear woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. And I believe that Jesus looked like this. Your faith is so great. Your daughter is healed. Did the disciples get it? He's a God of grace. And he smiled. You know, in the text, she doesn't have a name. Even Rahab the prostitute had a name. And Mary, Jesus' mother from 2 weeks ago, had a name. But this lady's just called the Canaanite woman. May I suggest we give her a name? Let's name her Faith. Faith. Here's how some artists say the picture looked. That's how they picture her. But I think it was a lot more like this. No, I think Faith looks like this. Look at that smile. Faith with a great big smile. God, give us that faith. Shall we pray? Oh God, I thank you for another example from your word of a practical response to your grace. On this Father's Day and on this Sunday, we thank you for those men and women of faith who've gone before us. I thank you for those men and women of faith that are present right here, right now. Oh God, may we have the faith of this woman to simply believe and follow and trust and fall at Jesus' knees. There are so many things in this old world that we don't get, we don't understand, But by faith, we keep believing in you that you are God and we are not. We don't get it, but we keep trusting. We want to have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. May we have faith. When our pathway is lonely, he sees and knows. Never alone or the least of his children. Have faith. Have faith. Have faith. And a great big smile is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.